Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship. Excited to be together. A few announcements we'll make as we get started in worship today. We'd like to find out who is here. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Please take that pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Want that last person, when it comes to you, once you're done, please send it back to where it got started. And ushers, we'll grab those at the end of the service. A couple of announcements I'll draw your attention to. We are having children's time today. Make note of that. All the kids come down here for just a few moments to talk with me. Bible study tomorrow morning. A couple of announcements. Our regular schedule this Wednesday. Call church conference this Wednesday at 6:45. Make note of that. Everything else is normal schedule. Next Sunday, a couple of things draw your attention to. It is Youth Sunday. We're excited. Our teenagers will be leading us in worship. We'll be doing a combined service at 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. So there will be no 9 o'clock. Just Sunday school and the 11 o'clock service. Also, it's exam pack time. And so next Sunday morning, we're inviting everybody who is able to provide store-bought or homemade goodies that we'll be packaging up and sending to our college students. If you could bring those next Sunday morning, that would be helpful. We'll also put it in an email just to remind you, but we'll be headed out on exam pack run next week. So thank you so much for that. Miss Karen, come on.
Good morning. For those of you who in the room who are parents or grandparents, if you think back to some of the most precious times you ever had as a parent or a grandparent, it's probably those hours here, half hours there, afternoons, that you got to spend directly with your child. Well, there's a group of men living about a mile away from here who rarely have that opportunity. In fact, they only have it about once a year, and that opportunity is fast approaching. I'm here on behalf of the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry, speaking for Barry Nelson, who's up in the crow's nest up here with the sound system. On Saturday morning, May the 5th, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, there will be an event that is an annual event called Fun with Father. And the guys who live at the prison who have children nearby, they have an opportunity for these children to come. They're going to be meeting actually out at Campaigns. And there'll be a half day for that morning of activities where they get to actually spend one-on-one time with their kids or doing group activities with their kids. I actually was involved in it last year for the first time, and it is just a blessing to watch not only the men's faces shine as they are interacting with their kids, but those kids' blessed faces as they are interacting with their fathers, which they get to do that one time a year. So College Park's involvement for years on this event, and Barry and Beth have led a team of people who go and cook the food for the lunch. So there'll be a grill out there, and there'll be grilling burgers and hot dogs and everything of that nature. So, and they need some more hands. So if you have time that or an inclination that Saturday morning, May the 5th, please get in touch with Barry or Beth or Mary, we'll take your name as well, and let them know. They'll be leaving the church about 8:30 that Saturday morning, and we'll be out there most of the morning. But it's a blessing you do not want to miss. So, thank you.
Okay. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. We invite you to take a look at that. Several opportunities, upcoming events, opportunities for the week. So thank you for checking that out. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give something to you. A few minutes ago, you gave us your information on the pew pad. We are thankful for that. If you're a guest, we would like for you to just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers are going to come down the aisles now. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. Will you pray with me? Our Father, we give you thanks. Our joy, our gladness knows no end because you are eternal and you love us. And you have provided a way for us through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. You showed your love to us. And so we gather to show our love to you, our gratitude, our thankfulness. May all that's done in this place be done to glorify you and you alone. Hear us, see us as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Good to see everybody. I want to show you a picture of two friends, okay? They didn't have a lot in common. In fact, they never even spoke a word, but they were best friends, all right? I'm going to show you this picture. Are you ready? There was an elephant, and what's that at the bottom? A dog. Tara and Bella were best friends. See, how did that make sense? This is a true story. I did not Photoshop this. This is a real thing. Tara and Bella. Now see, the puppy dog wandered into the elephant sanctuary, a place where elephants hang out. Well, the elephant didn't have a friend. Other elephants, they would play together. But Tara and Bella found themselves together. They played together. They stayed together. You could tell just by looking at them that they were friends. They were always together, and they were always doing the same things. In fact, Tara, the puppy dog, what got sick and went into the hospital or place to get better. Well, Bella, the elephant, stayed outside the hospital for 3 weeks. and waited for the dog to come back out. She didn't want to go anywhere except where her friend was. That's crazy, right? Elephants shouldn't be friends with dogs, should they? No, but they were. And everybody knew it. They could see how much that they cared about each other. Pastor Raymond is going to talk this morning. We need to show each other how much we love each other. Not just talk about it, but when somebody's sick, take care of them. When they're hurting, look after them. We need to show our brother, our sister, our mom, our dad, our friend, our grandma, our grandpa, how much we love them. Even an elephant and a dog can be friends. They can show each other how much they love each other. You and I, we have the story of Jesus who showed us how much he loved us. Right? He went on the cross. He showed us. Our job is to show everybody else by how we talk, how we act, the things that we say, that we love them. That's what God wants from us. So I know it's a silly story about an elephant and a puppy dog being friends, but it reminds us we can show God's love everywhere we go. Can you be a friend like that? To show God's love? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your goodness and your grace and how you showed your love for us by sending Jesus. Help us to show people, even people that we don't really know that well, show people how much you love them by how much we love them. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now. Good job.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. If you don't have your copy of the scripture this morning, that's located on page 759 in your pew Bible. John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for sending us a shepherd. Thank you for protecting us in all times, in all places, in all ways. Father, forgive us for forgetting that you're always there. Father, as the wolf comes to destroy, we thank you for fending it off. Even when we don't know you're there, you're fighting the battle before us. God, and that is why we worship you. Father, this morning, as we worship, we come with different struggles. We come with hurts. We come with pains. We come with celebrations. Father, thank you for being in all of our circumstances. Thank you for guiding us. Even when we take our eyes off you, you're still there guiding us. And we thank you for that. Father, thank you for giving us what we need and not what we want. Father, this morning, right now, we need you. We need to hear from you. We need to see you. We need to worship you. So, Father, let everything that's said and done be about you. Thank you for sending us the shepherd. Thank you for allowing us to worship him. In your name we pray. Amen.
People.
Would you pray with me? Father God, we come today with humble and grateful hearts. We are thankful for the many worldly blessings that you give us, the gifts of family, of Christian friends, of home, and all your daily provisions. Father, help us to be mindful always of the spiritual blessings you freely give us, the eternal blessings, the gift of your love, the gift of your Son, the gift of salvation, the gift of your word, the gift of worship, the gift of the Good Shepherd. Father, help us remember our obligations as your children to share these gifts with others. Please accept these gifts back to you and give us the wisdom to use them in a way that furthers your kingdom. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. I know I mentioned last week that the praise band from 9 o'clock service and myself were going to Boiling Springs. We had a great time of worship down there and fellowship with the people at Boiling Springs Baptist Church, as well as Green Bethel Baptist Church, as well as Shiloh Baptist Church. So it was a kind of a citywide deal that they had going on. Great, great time. Wonderful cooks, as there usually are in Baptist churches. We ate well. We also burned through those calories pretty quickly. The band did an amazing job. It is a challenge to preach to a congregation that's used to being revved up and amped up, and so we had a great time down there. And they send their love and their support and their encouragement to you, and hope that you will continue to pray for them. They've got a wonderful thing going down there in terms of their partnership with some churches, and it really was a great time. So appreciate your prayers. I know many of you spoke to us, sent text messages, sent emails of your prayers and concerns. So thank you very much. We are back, and we got everything set up, and then we go from last week's sermon. Do you remember what it was on? Sin, yes. It was on sin, and this week it's on love. Now, we have found that people much prefer to hear sermons on love than the amen, yes, bless them, Lord, yes, yes. They're taking up where I heard Tuesday night, Wednesday night, so Kiwi, you're doing great. But they like that. We like to hear sermons on love, and fortunately, that is our lectionary text. And we'll be reading from 1 John chapter 3 in just a moment, and I've already changed that because we're going to back up to verse 11. Even though the lectionary text is 16 through 24, we're going back up to verse 11 to kind of put it all in context for you. So that's one change. The other change is you can go ahead and take out your bulletin, and where it says hymn number 613, the servant song, that's not going to happen this morning. We've already changed that. Once we got through the sermon at 9 o'clock, we said, we need to sing Love Lifted Me. So we've changed the, he does that to her every now and then, doesn't he? Pardon? All right, got it going on. Okay, 546, Love Lifted Me will be our invitation hymn today, so you can go ahead and be prepared for that. I think our musicians are prepared, so we should be all right. As I looked at our text for today, had a lot of good resources, as I mentioned before. Drew heavily on Dr. Talbert's book, Reading John, as well as F.F. Bruce's book, The Gospel and Epistles of John, as well as some commentary by Pastor Gerald Roberts. Some good stuff. This is a great passage of Scripture. And before we dig into it, let's go ahead and read it. Okay, let's read the text from 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 11. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Now we're talking about action now. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, do not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit that he gave us. How many of you were alive in November of 1984? Raise your hand. November of 1984. How many of you can remember November of 1984? November of 1984. You know, in the 9 o'clock service, it was a completely different response. It was completely different. In November of 1984, the British rock band Foreigner released a song that said, "I want to know what love is." And the subtitle of that basically is, "I want you to show me." The idea being action, love is demonstrated in action. And John, I think, would agree with that thesis. Love is something you do. It is an action. It comes from within, yes, but it is something that is lived out. And as he begins his summary of love and love in action, I took from it basically three thoughts. Not really three points so much as three kind of thoughts, but if you wanted to outline it, there's going to be three things and then kind of a few things underneath them, okay? The first thing you could write down there is that the world lives to take. The world lives to take. John quotes Jesus saying, "Remember Cain? Remember Cain?" In verse 12, "Do not be like Cain. Do not be like Cain, who longed for the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? His own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous." He was jealous. He was jealous. So he took from his brother. In this case, he took his life. And I don't know if that rings a bell for you. Hopefully none of you have taken the life of your brother. But if you look around you and see what's going on in our world right now, it is so much about what can I get and what I want. And if you got something I want, I'm jealous. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to get that from you because I want that. Very selfish. In first century, centuries before the first century, back in B.C., I mean, it seems like human nature has not changed. We want what we want and we'll do what we need to take that. And that is exactly what the world teaches. Live to take. Take from somebody else. And Jesus thought, he said, no, there are people whose actions are actually evil. He doesn't say slightly selfish. He says evil. And he says the world takes. So don't live the way that the world does. John also says the world hates. It takes, it hates. In verse 15, "Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer." Well, that kind of takes it to another level. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about last week. Remember where we talked about how sin starts in the hearts and minds of people? And John is saying here, you know, it's the same deal. And Jesus taught the same thing. The sin is the same. Now, you could argue, well, if you don't act upon it, if you do not act upon the sin that's within your heart, then there are fewer immediate consequences. Yeah, maybe so if you don't act upon them immediately. But if it remains in your heart, if the sin remains in your heart and in your mind and it's left unconfessed and without repentance, it will likely lead to the resulting action. And that is the danger. That's the reason we know when it begins in the heart, we need to confess it at that point. Do not let it go any further. That's bad enough, but do not let it go any further. The world takes, the world hates. The third thing that John says here is that the world refuses to help. It refuses to help. John asks, so if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? If someone's in need and you don't help, how can the love of God be in you? What's the backstory here? Evidently, John either knew or suspected that there were disciples in the community of faith who were acting selfishly by refusing to share their possessions with people who were genuinely in need. They turned their back. They turned a blind eye, however you want to say it. They turned away from the people who were in need, even though they had what could have satisfied that need. John's saying, this is contrary. This is contrary to the spirit of love. This is contrary to the spirit of God. And actually, quite honestly, this is contrary to the spirit of the early church that we read about in Acts chapter 2, right? If you go back and read it, it says they shared their possessions. They helped one another. They cared for one another. They did what was necessary. You know, the kind of selfishness that he's talking about here was not normally the spirit of the early church. And he's saying, nor should it be the spirit of the church. And so those are John's statements about the world. He said it takes, it hates, and it refuses to help. Then he begins some statements of contrast. He says, Jesus lived to give. If you backed up one verse from what Matt read earlier, from John chapter 10, he began in verse 11. If you go to John's Gospel chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief cometh to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. See, Jesus gives life in abundance. That is his desire. Another translation says, to the max. In other words, to the most that you could ever hope for, that's what Jesus gives. Then some. More abundantly. Jesus gives life more abundantly. Second, Jesus gave his life that we could encounter life more abundantly. That we could truly encounter life. Jesus walked and talked among us. Why did he do that? He did that to teach us. To teach us. He says, here's what I'm going to show you. And here is how love acts in relationship with one another. So he said, if you really want life, if you really want to encounter life, follow my example. Thirdly, Jesus offered his life, and so he asked us to offer our life. Jesus laid down his life. It says in verse 16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. There's a couple of other verses I think that would support this. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet, Christ died for us. John chapter 15, verse 13 says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. So, does this mean that we literally have to die for someone in order to show that we love them? No. Now, see, remember we talked about sin begins in the heart and in the mind? Remember that conversation? Same thing's true with love. Same thing's true with love. We demonstrate that same kind of love by following the example of Jesus and loving our brothers and sisters. The love, the action, the heart of love is the same. Jesus gave us that example. He offered his life as a servant, not as a power broker, but a servant. He washed his disciples' feet to their objection, but he washed their feet to demonstrate his heart. He ate with sinners, much to the outrage of the religious leaders of the day. He gathered with lepers who were the ultimate outcast of the day. He touched the dead. He healed blind eyes. He healed those who were sick of all kinds of diseases, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And he gave hope to the hopeless. And he calls us to do the same. He offered himself to people, and he calls us to do the same. And you say, well, Raymond, I can't do what he did. I cannot heal sick people. I can't do that. I can't touch someone that's not able to walk and they rise. And I can't do that. How do you know? How do you know? Have you ever tried? How do we know? You say, well, the apostolic age is dead. I'm sorry, I don't buy that. I do not buy that. Why? Because Jesus said, the same power lives in you. The same power, as it turns out, raised him from the dead, is the power that he said is coming to empower you to complete the work that he began. What is the work that he began? To touch people, to bless people, to heal people. Why can't we do it? I think it's... We won't go there. It's a whole nother sermon. It's a long one. It's a long one. We don't have time for that one today. But let me tell you, people, if our motive is to do what God commands us to do for his glory, then don't question whether he can accomplish it. Don't question it. But the secret there is, what has he called us to do? What does his Spirit lead us to do? Because if his Spirit leads us to do it, he empowers us to do it. Amen? He empowers us to do what he calls us to do. And what does he call us to do? Offer ourselves to others. To be present in the lives of other people. The world lives to take. Jesus lived to give. Thirdly, Jesus says we live because love lifted us. Now you know why I picked that hymn, don't you? Love lifted us. Love lifted me, first of all, from death. Verse 14, we know that we've passed from life to death because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. We no longer abide in death because of Christ's love within us. Second, love lifted me from a point of being a taker to being a giver. We could say, well, you know, not giving is incompatible with Christian teaching. Yes, that's true. Certainly. From the founding of the church on Pentecost to the generous saints of Macedonia and Achaia who sent gifts by Paul's hand to the believers who were for suffering in Jerusalem, Jesus' earliest disciples freely shared their possessions for those who were in need. We know that from Scripture. But they also taught and practiced that those who were capable of working should do so in order to fulfill their obligations not only to the church, but to humanity. Now, sometimes, I mean, and I've heard a lot of good sermons on social justice, and I'm all about it. Jesus taught it. But we have a tendency to leave out that last part. Because with freedom comes privilege and responsibility. And the early church clearly taught, if you are in genuine need, then the church has an obligation to fulfill that need, to meet that need. But it also clearly taught, if you are able to work and to help, you are responsible for doing the same because others are counting on you. You may at some point be in this position and be truly in need. And if that is the case, you need to have been an agent of change and hope for those who are in need prior. So it's both sides of the coin. Yes, we should share. Yes, we should fulfill the need. But yes, we also have an obligation to work if we're able so that we can help those who are in need. Thirdly, love lifted me from I can go this far, but I can't go any further. You know, if you have the kind of attitude, well, I'll love them right up to the point where, then that's not true love. Sorry. It's not. It may be liking them, you know, I'll like them up to this point, but beyond this point, I'm not going to like. See, love has no limit. Love is boundless. God-like love knows no boundaries. It sets no limits. It draws no lines. It never says this far and no further. True love is without limits. And that's hard for us to hear because we know some people who really test our limits. Amen? It really tests our limits. You know, the idea of I'll really love you, then no sacrifice is too great. Well, if I really love you, where is that line? There's no line. Comedian Alan Carr has a sketch that probably you've seen where he's talking about, darling, I love you. I'd climb the highest mountain for you. I'd swim the deepest stream for you. I'd fight a jungle of lions for you. And if it doesn't rain, I'll come over to see you tonight. See, it's kind of that deal. We say true love, and we say it's limitless. With God, it needs to be. God-like love knows no boundaries. Fourth, love lifted me from an actless life. Love lifted me from an actless life. Love has actions. John reminds us. He says, therefore, verse 18, dear children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. Love has actions. Fifth, love lifted me from a point of no confidence to a point of confidence or assurance. Sometimes we use the word assurance there. Love lifted me from no confidence to assurance. Verse 21, we have confidence before God that there is the possibility that we can receive anything we ask. But the secret here is the words of confidence are not in ourselves. The words of confidence are in who? They're in God. Yeah, they're in Jesus. They're in the divine power and His purposes, not our purposes, in His purposes, not in ourselves, but in Him, but in God's power through us as we tune our hearts and our minds to His goals and His purposes. As we said just a few minutes ago, if God wills it and the Spirit leads, He will empower it. He will provide what we need to do what His will is. That's a point of confidence, not in ourselves, but in God. Sixth, love lifted me, verse 23, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Believe in the name. Believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Number seven, love lifted me to hear the message that was from the beginning. If you go back to verse 11, what is that message? For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We should love one another. You know, we could think and we could assume that people would and do that, would know how to do that and would do that, to love one another, right? We should assume that, but that just isn't the case. You know, generally people are more inclined to love themselves and take advantage of one another. I mean, that's usually the situation. So John is saying that the message from Jesus has not changed. It's been the same message from the very beginning. And apart from love, we become slaves to the world. We become like the world. We become takers and haters and people who do not help those who are in need. You know, so simple is this message. So simple is this message of God's love that was from the very beginning. And it's ironic that the world rejects that message because it is too simplistic. And yet it has been and has always been God's message that He loves us, His gift to us. He loves us and He expects us to love one another. And when that is heard and when that is acted upon, it can indeed lift us out of the evil of this world. We do not have to become like this world. That's what John's saying. John says the world lives to take. Jesus lives to give. And we live because love lifted us. In verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. If we do not love, we remain in death. Don't remain lifeless. He's saying live. Live for Jesus. In February of 1997, 13 years after singer Lou Gramm sang, "I Want to Know What Love Is," he was singing a new song. He was singing with a band called Petra, along with a band called Petra, when they recorded a song entitled "We Need Jesus." Isn't that ironic? John Elefante, who had led Lou Gramm to the Lord a few months before, joined Petra's John Schlitt, lead singer, and Lou Gramm as they recorded this song. That song was actually written by a friend of mine, and in the early years of our youth group, had exposure to Scott Springer and the band Halo. Some of you may remember that. Well, the song was written by Scott Springer. And so now we find 13 years after Lou Gramm said, "I want to know what love is," now he knows what love is. He knows that love comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Gramm, like others, have found out that true love, agape love, is only possible through Jesus Christ. Because love lifts. Live for Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you for the beauty of your love for us, even when we're unlovable, even when we're ugly in our sin, Father. Your love is boundless. It knows no limits. It keeps pursuing us. God, we pray that we would extend that same courtesy, Father, that same command to our fellow men and women, to our brothers and sisters, to anyone who offends us or hurts us. Father, we know that's tough. And in and of our own strength, we're not capable sometimes. But Father, we know that you have empowered us for what you have called us to do. And so now we look within our own hearts and we allow you to touch us at that point of our own sin, our own shortcomings, whatever we want to call them, bad attitudes. Father, we pray that you would touch us there so there's no mistake about what it is we need to confess in the quietness of this moment. Father, we confess our shortcomings to you, our sin to you, and ask for your forgiveness. Father, we pray that you would give us a clean slate, a fresh start, so that we can hear your voice clearly and act upon your commands. God, we love you. But even as we say that with our hearts and our minds and our mouths, we know part of that is that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves also. So we ask for your strength. We ask for your wisdom as we seek to do so. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know that love of Jesus Christ personally, you do not have that personal relationship, we want to offer an invitation to you. I'll be here at the front in just a moment as we sing and be glad to share you how you can have a relationship with Christ. If you're here and you say, "Well, Raymond, you kind of touched me and there's some things I need to confess, there's some things I need to get right so that my actions match up with what we've learned this morning," you can certainly square that away right where you're standing. You can speak with God about that. If you didn't in the prayer just a moment ago, you can come here to the altar. You can pray there. I'll be glad to speak with you if that's your desire. But get it squared away today before you leave here. If you're here and you say, "I'd like to be a member of this church," we welcome you. There are a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. our benediction. We'll ask you to be seated for the bell's response. And after the bells finish playing, you can stand up, greet one another, encourage one another, and welcome our guests. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house and to be with one another, to encourage one another, Father, to hear your word. And as we go from this place, we pray that as our hearts have been lifted, Father, as love has lifted us, Father, that we would be that vehicle, we would be that person that others see love being demonstrated, and that they have a desire to want to know what gives us that kind of love for other people. And Father, as we live that out, we pray we would be faithful to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. To be seated just for a moment.